Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Okay, Chris Gibson, tell me about farmers. There's a farm bill. It's been banging around forever. We can't seem to get it passed. Our farmers are suffering, especially the little farmers around here. The price of milk, the middlemen make out like bandits sometimes, and the poor farmer is standing there with a pail in his hand and almost making no money. How do we fix it?
Well, we're going to get a farm bill done this year. I will tell you that. My sense is that the patience to do extensions has run out. You saw the Senate just last night pass their version. We are going to consider our bill next week. I will tell you that I'm on the Ag Committee. It passed with a strong bipartisan vote, 36-10. And I think we make some—
Who were the 10? I don't mean—
Two Republicans.
I don't mean names, but what was their beef?
Strong bipartisan support for this, 36.
Yeah.
10 no's. That was bipartisan as well. Two Republicans, 8 Democrats. Those two Republicans said there weren't enough cuts to the SNAP, formerly known as food stamps, and the 8 Democrats largely thinking there's too much in terms of that. But, you know, before we get into a debate on that, let me say some of the important reforms that I think are in this bill, why it's attracted such wide and bipartisan support. And first of all, you mentioned dairy. Absolutely. It's a struggling time to be a dairy farmer, you know, and— quite frankly, what really needs to be done, I think, is hearings and major reform on price discovery. That's not going to happen between now and 30 September. So, but what we do have—
I'm sorry, what's price discovery again?
Just essentially when you pull the number of things, it's how our government essentially sets the price of the hundredweight based on the futures market, price of cheese, if you can imagine that. But it's more than that. It's also the fact that when you pull a gallon of milk out of your refrigerator, and if you knew just the pennies that went to our dairy farmers, you would be aghast and disappointed.
Mm, sure.
So, and that's a larger problem to solve. But in the meantime, what we do in this bill, important policy reforms that's going to help our dairy farmers, is bring forward a marginal insurance framework. So based on your grain prices, and when you show your receipts, you would get $4 higher than that for your hundredweight price. That you would get for payment. So this would help stop the bleeding, if you will, for our dairy farmers. I mean, we had a period, particularly after the drought last year, when you saw grain prices go through the roof, we had dairy farmers that were working 7 days a week to lose money.
So who provides that insurance?
Well, we the people would provide that insurance.
So it would be a government program.
That is a government insurance program that would safeguard really the viability of our dairy farmers. So that's an important reform. I want to also tell you that we've got crop insurance reform in here. I think it's very important. Our fruit and vegetable growers, I mean, candidly, the insurance program right now, it favors the Midwest. It favors our big corporate farms.
I was going to ask you that, whether this is really geographical as opposed to classically political.
It is. Most of the farm bill is regional in its challenges. It's not partisan. And, you know, this is among the areas. This is a big win for us, the fact that we were able to get language in there that's going to move us towards crop insurance reform. Because, look, a lot of our specialty crop growers, they'll actually grow two or three different types of crops on the same field. They'll rotate it over the course of a year. Whereas in the Midwest and the West, I mean, they may grow corn or they may grow soybeans or wheat, and it's thousands and thousands of acres, same crop, in 1 year. So, you know, we've got a program that's not user-friendly and it's not conducive.
You mean the present program, not
the present program.
Coming into
the program. One that we're doing reform on is going to be helpful, I think, to the Northeast. We also increased the funding for specialty crop research. There's a direct correlation between the research that's done and the yield that comes from our crops. And this is going to be, I think, helpful to the Hudson River Valley, to upstate New York communities. And not for nothing, but, you know, the Cornell Cooperative Extension often wins these competitions, so we could get a second-order effect from that because they do great research.
Okay, so let me give you a situation. Every once in a while, we have some nice weather in spring, and then along comes this awful cold snap. It kills the buds on the trees and the rest of it. Will the crop insurance do anything for them?
Yes, this reform does. It improves the disaster insurance program, providing more coverage for this. And that's an important reform in the bill. I'll also tell you that we won an important amendment vote on organic to help the organic community.
Yep.
This was an interesting issue, which got bipartisan support. And, you know, essentially a checkoff program is, if you think about, what's for dinner, beef, what's for dinner, or, who's got milk. These promotional programs help advance the sales. And what we did in this is provide the possibility that organic community could also have a checkoff program. So that was an important win.
What do you mean a checkoff program?
Well, basically allowing for these farmers to enter into a program where they donate to that program, but then it's used to advance the marketing and the advertising for that community. So, and this is the first time we actually won that kind of vote for the organic community. So it's an important step forward.
Which leads me to ask you this, Chris Gibson. I get more mail, I think, about Monsanto and seeds than any other thing. Explain where you come down on that, all of that.
Well, I think it's a very reasonable point that we want to know what's in our food. You know, when you drink a bottle of Coca-Cola, you see the ingredients on that. You know, there was a moment when I had the Monsanto folks there in my office. They gave me about
I'll bet you did.
Well, let me just tell you, they gave me a 20 or 30 minute presentation. I mean, it was just, they're coming in with all the bells and whistles and, you know, just really strong, strong presentation. And then they finished and looked at me and they wanted my response. I said, you know, as proud as you guys are of everything you do, I think you'd want to put your name on it. Mm-hmm. You know,
so this bill that's floating around would make people tell you.
No, I got to tell you, that's not in the bill right now. You know,
but that's what a lot of these proponents want in the bill.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, I met with the Organic Trade Association on this subject because I'm very sympathetic to this. The idea that we want to know what's in our food. But there's some trepidation right now of moving forward with a vote on this because of fear that it would lose. And they're trying to set the conditions and momentum. So we'll see. I mean, the bill's next week. And whether or not there's an amendment that would provide for labeling is unclear. I don't think it happened on the Senate side. And again, I think it's because those that want to see us move towards the labeling want to shape the conditions to make sure we're in a place to support it. But you sort of get into a chicken and egg thing. You know, you really got to get moving with showing the support for it, I think. So we'll see where we go on that. But I think it's pretty reasonable that people want to know what's in their food. Let me say a few more things that are in this bill. Look, I'm incredibly proud of our farmers. I mean, I'm biased, but I think we got the smartest, the hardest working farmers in the world. But let's also recognize the average age of a farmer in New York is 57. Mm. So we need to inspire a whole new generation to come to the farm. So I'm the author, along with my colleague, Tim Walls. He's a retired sergeant major from the Minnesota Army National Guard. We are the authors of the Beginning Farmer Rancher Opportunity Act of 2013, which helps with regard to access for our beginning farmers, access to land. Actually, their number one issue, they'll tell you, is access to land.
How do they get that?
Well, in the bill, what we do is we provide for transition. So you have farmers who are getting ready to retire, and there can be tax credits for them as they invite and bring on beginning farmers to work on. Yeah, it's an important conservation program that we have as part of this. Access to land, access to training. We've got important training going on in the Hudson River Valley that comes with this beginning farmer program. Access to grants and credit, including a microloan program that helps our farmers. There's discounts to insurance. The whole purpose of this bill is to recognize the fact that first decade, it is very challenging for a farmer. And so we're trying to literally and figuratively help them get roots in the ground. So we got most of these provisions in the bill. And I want to tell you that this is a great example of constituent-driven legislation because these ideas came from my constituents. You know, Lindsay Shute, who's the leader in the National Young Farmers Coalition, she's been working with my staff, and she was very, very much involved in helping write this. So this is an example where constituents can really make a difference. And it's in most of this, a good portion of this is in the underlying farm bill. So we're proud of that. We also, this is a rural economy bill. So we are advancing broadband in this bill. We're fighting Lyme disease in this bill. The way to think about this bill, it's called the farm bill. But the way I explain it to folks is think about the rural economy and how we're going to advance the rural economy. So critically important. So look, I mean, I think this is, we're going to get this done. There are two points of contention still. Part of it has to do with some of the dairy provisions and also food stamps. But I do think that there'll be a compromise on this. You'll see the House and Senate come together. The implementation on food stamps will be program integrity. You know, we had a person in the Midwest that won the lottery and went down and claimed for food stamps. And because the assets weren't counted, they were still, that person was still eligible. So we're going to have program integrity to ensure that people who need food stamps still get food stamps. And we have a program that the taxpayers can be proud of in that transition as everybody makes their move from challenging periods to flourishing periods.
Congressman Chris Gibson, as always, I want to thank you again for coming into our studios and talking to us. It's so important to hear your point of view, and we very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan. God bless you, and God bless all the listeners out there.